Praise the Lord, you can respond now and forever. Praise the Lord. I'm the visiting priest here for the weekend. It's been like 3 weeks, maybe even a month since I've been here at St. Raphael's to be able to pray with you, so it's good to be here. Next weekend will be my final weekend here at the parish, and then I'll be going to St. Agnes up in Green Bay. Just want to express my gratitude and thanksgiving to all of you to be with me in this part of my journey of priesthood. It's been a great joy. This past week, I was at the Green Lake Conference Center with my brother priests on our retreat, and it was a wonderful retreat. We had a Trappist monk give to us our retreat, and just as we had Mark's gospel here this morning, he gave the entire retreat just on two verses of Mark's gospel. So that's two talks a day plus the homily for 4 days, just on two verses of Mark's gospel. Wow. So we were fed tremendously. And there's no way to be able to compete with a Trappist monk. They're sort of cooped up. So when he had a chance to talk, boy, did he talk. And we just had a great time. In fact, at the end of the retreat, we enjoyed a cigar with him. His dad's from Cuba, his mom's from Greece. So we had a campfire, and he joined us for that. That was awesome. Green Lake's a beautiful lake, deepest lake I heard in the state of Wisconsin. So I figured out of all the many years that I went to Green Lake, I was going to finally get out on the water. But I wasn't going to get in the water. I was going to get above the water and have this thing called a lift foil. Now, if you've ever seen a lift foil or heard about a lift foil, it's got an electric motor on it, of course, on the bottom of a mast, which comes out of the bottom of a surfboard. And then you have a hand control with Bluetooth that hooks up to the control unit to get your motor moving. And so you stand up on this, so you're hovering up over the water, and the foil acts like a wing of an airplane. So it lifts you up over the water. And so you're just sort of gliding. You don't hear anything, really. And I figured I'd do this during lunchtime so I wouldn't bring any attention to myself. I figured the priests were all eating lunch in the cafeteria. But unbeknownst to me, half of the presbyterate was looking out the window, watching me out on the lake during lunchtime in which I was supposed to be in there with them. So I sort of shot myself in the foot there. However, this gospel reading brings to me many stories about growing up on the water and having time in a boat. So if any of you have been boating, you know that Murphy's Law applies probably most especially to boating than any other recreational sport. They say the best time of boat ownership is when you buy it and when you sell it. And many things can go wrong, and they do go wrong because you're out there in the water and you're a bit vulnerable. You know, things can really get stirred up pretty quick. And in the midst of a calm day up in the county, a squall can come upon you and you can be in some serious trouble. Some trouble that I remember in particular was took sailing lessons. So we were in the harbor, but when you were sailing the sailboat and you capsized it or turtled it and you get it back, we had to bail out the water. Usually we had an old, milk jug, and we just, feverishly just bailing out the water so we could get going again to try to win the race. Or when my dad took us out boating, my dad actually made 4 boats, not from scratch. So he was a fiberglass guy. So he made the molds, he put the resin in it, and then laid all the fiberglass. And he'd never put a bilge pump in the boat. So, but he was sort of good at getting us all wet in the boat. So we were going along, and then he would throttle back. And then right before a wave in Lake Michigan, it would just come over the bow of the boat. So it was an open boat, and we would just get all drenched. And then, of course, we had like water sloshing around in the boat. And so he's like, well, we can get rid of that. And we thought maybe we had to bail. But instead, he took the plug out of the stern of the boat. And like, oh, we're all going to die. We're going to sink. Dad's trying to kill us. But then he would sort of throttle up again and get the boat going. Of course, all the water would flow out of the bilge. We thought it was a miracle. Like, he saved us. Way to go, Dad. The first boat that I ever purchased in my life was a brig 4450L. It's a rigid inflatable boat. And I was taking it out for about a summer, maybe two summers, and I had a leak in it. And I couldn't find where the leak was. So finally, I began to understand that I was filling up with water all the time because there was a screw that was going through the stern of the boat that had the center console attached to it. And water was coming up into the bilge. But I never could see where the screw was because it was on the bunks of the trailer. So after about two summers, I'm like, well, maybe I should look and see if it's there. And sure enough, so I had a leak in the boat. There's always something going wrong when it comes to boating. Could you imagine being with Jesus in today's gospel reading? And look what goes wrong. They're in the midst of a terrible storm. But perhaps the disciples forget who it is that they're with. There's just that one line in Scripture in which Jesus, it says that Jesus went as he is. Sort of interesting that the gospel writer Mark puts that in there. What does he mean by that? Jesus went as he is. That means that he was going into this adventure with the disciples as the Son of God, as the second person of the Holy Trinity, as the King of Kings, as the Lord of Lords, as the all-powerful, as the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus just wasn't going in his humanness, but Jesus was going in his divinity. And because of this, Jesus is able to quell the wind and the waves. It's interesting that in antiquity, wind and waves both have significant meaning. Wind as being very unpredictable and very catastrophic at times, and you never know where the wind may be coming from at any given time, and a gust of wind can push you over or can give you certain trouble when you're out on the water. And waves as being representative of the abyss, sort of this unknowing place in which the ancients would think that's where Leviathan lived, the sea monsters. And so the disciples and Jesus are between these two unknown chaotic forces of wind and of waves. And it's interesting to note then, as the gospel writer says, where is Jesus? He's not in the bow of the boat, but he's in the stern of the boat. What's significant about this? Well, the bow of the boat, if anybody knows, if you're in rough seas, is the bumpiest place to be. Actually, it's the most fun, too, because you can just stand there and hold onto the rails and bounce up and down with the waves. We would hang over the front of the boat as Dad was steering the boat, looking down at the waves splashing on the hull. What a great memory. But if you're in the stern of the boat, like my dog usually was, when I take him out on the water, one time, actually, he fell out of the back of the boat. He's still alive, so that's good. But that's the most stable part of the boat. Now, one time I took some of our summer staff out. Now, this wasn't Father Kevin Ripley, but Father Kevin Durand. And we were about 4 miles out on Lake Michigan, and it was my second rigid inflatable boat. It's a Zodiac Open Pro 7.5 with 115-horse Yamaha four-stroke. And we were cruising. We were doing 42 miles an hour. It was pretty choppy. We're bumping along, having a great time. And all of a sudden, I hear from one of the summer staffers, Father, the back of the boat fell off. I'll never forget looking back at Kevin, and his eyes are just wide open. But with the rigid inflatable boat, there's different compartments, so it's unsinkable. But the back cap of the last inflatable part actually just ripped off and fell into the sea. But when I heard that the back of the boat fell off, I was pretty scared myself, I have to admit. But we made it back safe and sound. The wind and the waves that Jesus experiences are what we experience in our own lives. We know that things can be very tumultuous. There can be times in which a squall, things just sort of immediately just get stirred up. Things can be calm. Things can be just fine. And then there's some tragedy, something in our life that just sort of shakes us up. But Jesus is on that cushion, on the pillow, in the most stable part of the boat, and he's with us. And sometimes, just to hear those words, it's going to be okay. Those words aren't trite. They're not oversimplified. It's going to be okay. Sometimes when a mother or a father says that to the child, it calms the storm of their heart, the anxiety that they're having or the fear. And so Jesus says that to us. It's going to be okay, whatever it is that we're going through. Father Marty Carr would say, and he probably got this from someone else, but it was great. We always tell God how big our problems are, but we never tell our problems how big our God is. Jesus quells the storm. Jesus takes the most chaotic thing imaginable to the ancient mind and calms it and stills it to a whisper. And this is what the life of the Christian is all about. Father Simeon, one of the most interesting things I learned on the retreat is that St. Paul actually came up with his own Greek language. So apart from traditional Greek language, there's actually a Pauline Greek language. And he did this to be able to describe in language the power of Christ at work in the human heart, because he didn't have any words to be able to describe how it is that Christ can work in our life. And this is a beautiful, beautiful rendition of what it means in this gospel reading about how Jesus calms us. He gives to us a sure support. He gives to us a safe haven, a place to come back to. He crosses to the other side. This is the gift of Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. I'll say praise the Lord, and you can respond now and forever. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.